What's up, girls, gays, and theys? Welcome to The Thought Topic, a comedy podcast about surviving your 20s. And honestly, we all really could use some help. It's me, Christian, your thought therapist, here to help guide you to the best of my thoughty knowledge on all things adulting. So let's get it, shall we? I know when that thought line bling, it can only mean one thing. Yeah. I know when that, hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Thought Topic with your host, me, Christian Sanchez. Y'all, it's been a minute since I've done a little solo episode, but I've just had a lot going on in my life, and so I figured now is a good time to do a little check-in, have a little one-on-one time with my fellow thoughts. Before we get started, though, with today's episode, I just want to do some quick announcements that I'm super, super excited about. Okay. First of all, I just would like to give a huge thank you to our thought community. We have hit a milestone recently. This week, we have had 1.5K downloads. Round of fucking applause, please. That's amazing. Seriously, like, the show is growing so much. Like, I'm averaging more listens on episodes than I've yet to. And so this is fucking sick. So thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for listening. Even if you've only listened to one episode and you hate it, feel free to send to a friend anyway and be like, oh my God, listen to this shitty podcast. Actually, don't do that. Give me nice feedback. But anyway, thank you guys so much for believing in my thought vision. I really, really appreciate it. I'm so grateful. Another quick announcement is subscribe to our Patreon. I know you guys have been hearing me plug our Patreon a lot. It's super exciting to have a public platform where we can share exclusive content. You guys can financially support the show if you're able to. You can support the show from as little as $1 to as much as you want possible. So any amount helps. So if you're interested, check out our Patreon. The link is in our bio in the episode and on our social medias. Yeah, I really just wanted to get those quick housekeeping things out of the way. I'm super excited and super honored that our show is growing so much. Our thought community is growing. It's popping off. So what better way to celebrate the thought community than answering questions from you, from y'all, my fellow thoughts. So this past week, I posted on my Instagram, I posted on pretty much all my social media platforms, and I was like, hey y'all, ask me some thoughty questions, ask me questions about myself, anything that you want me to answer on my podcast, and when the episode releases on Friday, you will have an answer. So I came up with a list of good questions that were submitted. So this episode is dedicated to y'all. I'm here to help you as your thought therapist. But before we get into our thought line or our therapy session, I just want to do a quick little check-in, a quick little life update for y'all. So I'm definitely going through a ton of change right now. I'm moving out of Brooklyn, which is crazy to me, first of all, because pretty much since I've lived in New York, I've always lived in Brooklyn. So I'm becoming a Manhattan bitch now, which all of my friends who have always lived in Manhattan, they're like, look who's a fucking islander now, which I hate that. I hate it when people refer to Manhattan as an island, as the island. I'm sorry. They refer to it as the island, which I'm like, okay. Anyway, so yeah, so I'm moving to Manhattan soon. And it's been so chaotic. If you guys can imagine the stress of moving, obviously the stress of moving and dealing with New York City landlords is fucking insane. I think I mentioned it in an episode before, but the whole reason I was prompted to move in the first place is primarily due to the fact that my current apartment literally had a giant hole in the ceiling of our bathroom for about a good month and a half. Previous to that, it started leaking in August. So we were dealing with this nasty, ugly leak for 6 months. And then when there was that giant snowstorm back in January, beginning of February, it kind of collapsed and there was water rushing out of it. And, you know, I didn't sign up for this lease with intending to have a waterfall in my bathroom. So I just thought, you know, now may be a good time to move. But I found a sick place. I'm moving in with my business manager, Savannah Morris, who helps run the Thought Topic. She creates all the designs and logos. She helps keep my shit together, honestly. I will text her having a freak out at like 1:30 about like, oh shit, Savannah, I forgot to do this for the show, or I have this idea. And she's like, okay, I wrote it down. Got it. Like, ooh. So us living together is going to be so awesome. She's a good friend of mine from college. We've lived together before. We know we live well together. And I'm just super excited to, I don't know, just be in a new environment. It's going to be really refreshing, really good for my mental health. You know, y'all, it's March. I know what's all on our mind right now is definitely the anniversary of COVID. And as much as I'm trying to shut that thought out of my mind, it's inevitable. Like, we're gonna think about it. So I am really trying to have this mentality right now where I just am trying to embrace as everything that just kind of comes in my way. If it's put on my path, then I'm like, all right, let's just deal with it. You know, when I think about where I was at this time last year, I was very like theater oriented, and obviously I can't be right now. So I've just been working and really focused on my side hustle jobs, like as far as being a beauty freelancer. I've been really focused on film and TV opportunities, which has been really, really fun and exciting for me. So I'm definitely challenging myself to think bigger and think more expansively than I ever have before. So it's kind of crazy because I never really pictured myself in this position, but it's exciting, like I said. What else? Oh, so I'm going through a breakup right now. That's fucking fun. I don't think I mentioned it on the last episode. It's definitely very fresh. It's definitely been very difficult, especially, you know, considering the move and considering all this other change I'm having right now. But I'm glad that I have that topic to be a distraction and be a fun outlet for me to just explore my feelings, explore my new perspective on relationship or romance or anything of that nature. I guess it's a good thing now that I'm single because I'll have more content for you guys. No, I'm totally kidding. I mean, I will have more content, but you know, single Christian is definitely a vibe. So for any of you who follow me on Twitter and have seen my chaotic TikTok or anything like that, I will definitely do an episode on this breakup and just hard breakups later. I just think right now I'm not necessarily ready to do that because I'm still processing my emotions, how I feel. It's very fresh, y'all. So yeah, I'll get into that some other time, but I just wanted to check in and let y'all know where I'm at, what my life has been like recently. But I'm happy to be here today and answering your questions and really just connecting with my fellow thoughts and my new fellow thoughts. So welcome aboard, baby. So without further ado, let's rock and roll and let's hit this 1-800 thought line. Let's get it. All right, y'all, first question of our Thought Line Bling episode is, what's a good conversation starter on Bumble? I hate that girls have to message first, LOL. Okay, so y'all, the year's 2021. We can't just fall into our stereotypical gender norms. We all know this. We notice. So on the dating app Bumble, women, I guess, have to message people first. So Bumble hasn't always been my favorite dating app platform for that reason, because like, unless I am super, super attracted to you, I won't really feel the need to message you first. But I'm trying to change my perspective about that. 2021 is shoot your shot, you know? I asked one of my guy friends, I'm like, okay, so what's something that you respond well to when a girl messages you first, especially on Bumble? And he told me a funny one that stuck out to him was a girl messaging him being like, oh my God, you look like you're gonna ruin my life, or hi, wanna ruin my life. And he really thought that was flattering. So I decided I wanna take this a step further. And I decided I'm going to message people on dating apps and say, hi, can I ruin your life? Because that is more kind of my energy. I think it's always good to message something funny or just like so obnoxious that they obviously know you're kidding. For example, this guy on Bumble I matched with says in his profile, looking for a female human, preferably with four limbs. So I thought it would be cute to send him a message that says, I have four limbs, but I'm not human, frowny face. And that must have grabbed his attention because, you know, it's so funny and witty, right? So he said, aw, that's okay. I'm not Pete Davidson, but I'll try. Quick disclaimer for context. In all my dating profiles, I write, I'm only on here until I meet Pete Davidson and we fall in love. Because Pete, I love you. But anyway, so then obviously it worked because then I responded and I said, it's okay. If you live with your mom and smoke too much weed, that works too. And so it was like an easy segue to have like funny banter. And then you can kind of segue it into something more casual, like, so what do? Where do you live? So that way it doesn't start off the conversation dry. I think always go the funny route. If you're not funny, I think the easiest way to be funny is to just say something you would think is funny. You don't have to worry about impressing the other person. That's the rule of comedy I like to live by. But I would say maybe you could just find something in their bio to comment on. Try to be as specific as possible. Like, oh, I really like that restaurant that you have in profile picture. Have you ever been to their happy hour? I don't know, something like that. Something like that's specific that you can build a conversation off of. Typically, the funny route's easier because then it's a more easy way into it. But I say don't be afraid to shoot your shot and just say some bold shit. I've messaged people before, hey, let's get married, and they get a response. So honestly, I think the bolder, the better. This next question says, what's your favorite part about living in NYC? So I've said this once, I'll say it again, I'll say it till the day I die. Living in COVID New York is better than living anywhere else. As someone who tries to follow the COVID restrictions and tries to be COVID conscious, I have appreciated that New Yorkers take it seriously. But at the same time, I also love that there's always something happening. It's always busy. It always feels just like inspiring, and there's so much different types of culture here that there's just, you're always stimulated by something. I think pre-COVID, because I really hate talking about COVID, but I think pre-COVID, what I loved is just the fast-paced lifestyle. I'm someone who's very self-motivated and loves to just constantly go, go, go. And I love that that is encouraged here. I love that I can basically get something I need whenever I need it. There have been so many times that prior to COVID, if I was going to go out one night, but I didn't have time to go all the way home and change, I could literally go to Forever 21 or some like cheap fast fashion store and buy like a $10 dress and change and then just go out to dinner, whatever the occasion was. That is like so fun and so the lifestyle I've always had imagined for myself. So that has definitely been the most exciting part for me. Hey, Krish, what's a good first date outfit? This is a good question. I think it definitely depends on what you're doing. I think a quick go-to, depending on your style, is just, you know, do a little booty, do a little tight action, do a little dress action. That's what I like to do. I personally like to dress as slutty as possible on a date because my personal style is just kind of a little bit thottier or sluttier. I love short skirts. I love, I don't know, just anything that shows off my legs. Or I tend to wear like, there's one outfit I used to wear a lot where I had like black skinny jeans. I know, very millennial of me, ew. And I would wear it with this like teddy I got from Victoria's Secret, which you could totally see my nipples through. But just the way that I wore it, I would wear it with like booties and a little cropped leather jacket. So it was very chic. But I think wear whatever the fuck you want. Granted, maybe you shouldn't wear, I'm assuming a girl wrote this, but I'm guessing just don't wear something that makes you feel uncomfortable. Like if you feel like it's going to be restricting, make sure you can like loosen that belt notch if you're going to go stuff your face at dinner with somebody. Or if you're going to go for a walk in the park, wear something that you wouldn't mind sweating in. You know, I really think it's just about being comfortable in whatever makes you feel confident. That's always what I say. In any situation, a first date, a job interview, wear what's going to make you feel like the boss ass bitch you are. This question says, what's your ultimate fantasy? For you to pay my rent. Okay, this question says, how do you self-soothe or self-comfort in moments of self-doubt or low self-esteem? Ooh, this is actually a really good one. So I have always kind of battled wanting to be this bad bitch version of myself who doesn't give a fuck about anything, who doesn't let people walk all over her. And I think that is something that is true about me. That's something, that's a story I tell myself that I also believe and buy into. I think that I am definitely capable of being a bad bitch. But something that I've learned is that I also am a sad bitch. I'm a sad girl too sometimes. I get in my feelings. I like cry. I'm very vulnerable. I'm very empathetic. I'm just very sensitive, which honestly I love about myself. It's something I wouldn't change about myself. I love that I'm an emotional person. So because of that, you know, when I was younger, I definitely would struggle with this idea of like, well, I'm a bad bitch. I can't cry, or I can't be sad, or I can't feel low about myself, which is so not what being a bad bitch is about. You know, I remember one of my friends, actually Savannah, my business manager, when we were in college together one time, we were drunk and I started to get in my feelings and I started crying and she was like, Chris, don't cry. And I was like, I can't cry. Bad bitches don't cry, which is so just silly, right? Like, especially when we think about how we prioritize mental health now, that's crazy. That's a silly, silly thing for young Christian to say. So when it comes to soothing myself or comforting myself, I think it's all about self-love. I'm literally clapping. Why am I clapping? Okay. It's all about self-love, baby. You gotta find things to make yourself feel good, whether it's putting on makeup. You know, for me, I used to do like little Euphoria looks back in the day. Back in the day, like 2019 was not literally less than 2 years ago. But I would do cute little rhinestone Euphoria looks just because it made me feel good. Or I'd listen to podcasts that inspire me. I think in moments I'm feeling really insecure or really self-doubty and I get like that negative voice in my head and it's hard to tune out, I know I have my solid core support team that I can call. I have probably like 5 friends that I can really count on and call that I can vent to and they'll listen to me, but then they'll also be like, no, bitch, you are not sad. Like, you are not this person. You are not all these things, all the self-doubt that you are telling yourself. Cut that out because that's not you. That is insecurity talking and you don't have to buy into that, baby girl. And not to get too preachery here, but it is so helpful to have people who will not only listen to you and let you be vulnerable to them, but who will also, you know, not let you be mean to yourself. You know, I think as someone who is such a perfectionist and just so emotional and just all the things, right? The recipe to be just a very self-deprecating person, I have been pretty successful in not being that way and maintaining like a good head on my shoulders and maintaining this overall, like, I guess, good confidence because I have had people to ground me and to really like who really know who I am. So when I do have that self-doubt, they're like, no, girl, that's not you, because I want to see them win. They want to see me win. So we keep each other in check. We don't let each other be insecure or be we don't have any room for self-doubt. So it's good to express it and to get those thoughts out. I'm someone who really benefits from talking through my feelings or processing my feelings externally. That's why therapy has always been great for me. But it's good to get those feelings out, but then also know that they're not true and that you don't have to believe them about yourself. Another great thing that helps with that is if you're into verbal affirmations, where you look in the mirror and you tell yourself good things like, I am smart, I am beautiful, or I am talented, or I deserve this, or people respect me. That's something that I have always found very empowering. I had an English teacher in high school who encouraged me to do that. And that's something that I will do when I am sitting and just putting my makeup on in the morning or just getting ready to go. And there have been times, especially recently, where it's been really hard to give myself those affirmations, like to the point where I start crying. But it's good because it's forcing me to confront myself and really just love myself full-heartedly and have this little love affair with myself, you know? So that's really just how I comfort myself, is just treating myself in a way that is gentle but still allows me to work through my feelings and not putting pressure on myself to either shut my feelings off or to just dwell in them and just going through the motions of it. So when in doubt, treat yourself. Okay, this next question is pretty juicy. It says, okay, so I've got a fucking conniption. What happens when you want your partner to tie you up and then they are on board for like the whole time, but then at the last minute they're like, nope, like I'm not pissed at them. Obviously it's okay if they don't want to do something sexually, but what's a good way to get them to dom you? Like, how should I bring this up to them gently? Okay, great question. First of all, yes, you cannot be mad at your partner if they agree to do something and then at the last minute they're like, wait, I'm not comfortable with this, never mind. I think a good tactic and something I've done in my own experience is when I am in a situation sexually sexy where I want my partner to do something, but they are having a hard time doing it, or I get the vibe that they're maybe not that into it. You have to have the conversation outside the bedroom, and then you have to have the conversation while it's happening. And I know that sounds very like simple, like, well, Christian, it's not that easy. So let me break it down for you. Okay, first of all, outside the bedroom, you got to be like, so are you comfortable with this? Does this excite you? And really just be honest. Maybe it's something they're not super into. And so you guys either have to find a compromise. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's like not a great match. But I really think that the best option is to just really talk it out and see what your partner's comfortable with and figure out if there's a way that you guys could find common ground where you're being satisfied, but they're also in their own boundaries, you know? For example, when I've had this issue before, I was sleeping with a guy who didn't really like to dirty talk, or like he liked to dirty talk, but he didn't like to say mean things to me. And I was totally like, no, I want you to like say nasty shit to me. Like, I always call it talking shit, but I'm like, I want you to like call me a whore, or like you can swear at me in bed, or you can be mean or be really rough with me. And he had such a hard time with it because he thought, oh, well, I really like you, so I don't want to like treat you like that. Yeah, okay, that's great and all, but like I want to have good sex, so please do this for me. Thank you. So basically the common ground we found was I would tell him specific things like, okay, well, maybe start off like saying stuff like this, such as, oh, you like that? And then we can graduate and work our way up to it, you know? So sometimes it starts with baby steps and then it goes into putting actual practice. So then maybe when you're actually having sex with your partner, you can just say to them like, oh, I really want you to do this to me. And that doesn't, a sub can ask for something. It doesn't go against the whole fun, like, dom sub narrative for you to ask for something, because maybe that'll inspire them to do something that is more in their control. And they'll be like, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that to you. And then it creates a whole new fun dynamic of that whole sub dom thing, cat and mouse thing. So I say it's two separate conversations, one in the bed and one out of the bed. But the more fun conversation comes when you're in the bed after you've already had the first one. So good luck. I don't know. I hope your partner stomps on your head or something and you, get off. Low key, a lot of you thotties on here are some subs. Like, I feel like a lot of the thought tales we've gotten before have been about being like dominated. So I see y'all out here, you little rope bunnies, submissive babies and shit. I love it. Okay. This next question's a really good one. I love this. Is it possible to love two people at once? Are open relationships the new normal? Is monogamy dying? Okay, so I love this question because I think that a lot of people are asking this right now. More people are kind of moving away from this traditional sense of relationships or monogamy. And I think what's important to remember is when it comes to relationships and boundaries, you have to do what is best for you. So I think that if you're someone who would be interested in an open relationship or interested in a polyamorous relationship or whatever the case may be, that's great. And you should tell someone that from the beginning, you know, like if you start to see someone and you start to really like them, that should just be something that's on the table. And even if you don't have experience with it, you can say like, hey, this is something that I'm interested in and I don't have a ton of experience, but this is how I think about relationships. What do you think? And that really allows you to segue into a conversation about what you value in relationships and how you think of partnerships. I think the idea of, are people still monogamous? Are we moving away from monogamy? I think in some ways is a good thing, because I think that sometimes, while there can be really beautiful and meaningful things about monogamy, there can also be some unhealthy things about it, where, you know, it can cause a lot of jealousy or loyalty issues for people who may think that's what they want, but maybe isn't necessarily right for them. So in response to that, I think it's a really good thing that our culture's shifting and we're challenging the way we conceptualize and picture relationships. I know most of my relationship experiences have been in a monogamous relationship, or it started off as an open relationship and then became a monogamous relationship. With one of my partners before, we talked about being non-monogamous or like adventurous together. And so I really just think it depends on the person. And the best way to know that is to just start the conversation as soon as possible. You don't have to know exactly if it's right for you or not, because I think in a relationship, regardless if it's monogamous or if it's polyamorous or whatever, it's not just about what you want, it's about what the other person wants too. And so if you can find common ground and have and conceptualize a relationship that works for both of you, that's awesome and that's great. So I say, let's challenge heteronormativity. Let's challenge conservative ideas of relationships. Not that there's anything wrong with those, but we can be expansive and creative about the way we visualize families, visualize love, visualize life partners into something that is more open and accepting of all different kinds of relationships. Also, I think it is possible to love two people at once. I personally haven't experienced that, but I have had friends that are in polyamorous relationships. And so eventually this is something I want to do an episode on and we can get more insight on that. But if you have experienced that or are curious about it, write in and let me know your thoughts or your experience. This next question says, what's something you learned about yourself recently? I love this question because I'm really focused on self-growth and I've always really valued the idea of self-growth. I'm constantly trying to make myself level up. So something I've learned about myself recently is I'm allowed to dream bigger than I thought was possible for me. I feel like because I, you know, in previous episodes, I've talked about my upbringing and how I've come from humble beginnings, and I'm still at a pretty humble point in my career. But the other day I was talking to a friend of mine from college on the phone and he spoke some fucking life into me. And so I'm going to share this with y'all. But basically we were talking about where we're both at in our careers right now and how we're starting to think about our careers differently and starting to shift into a new mindset. And I was telling him about how I'm starting to like really dream bigger things for myself, but how I still have this little voice of self-doubt in my head being like, oh, are you sure that's a good idea? And something he said to me really resonated with me. He said, isn't it scary to dream bigger than you thought you could? And it really shook me just because I was like, yo, I have always thought that way about myself. I have always been like, oh, well, I'm gonna only go for this because I think it's achievable. And then I would achieve it and be like, okay, cool. And then I would raise the bar and set the bar a little bit higher, and not too high though, because I don't want to disappoint myself. But the reality is that I've never disappointed myself. I've never been like, oh, I'm so unhappy with where I am in my life. Even in this shitty year of COVID, I haven't stopped myself and been like, oh my God, I hate where I'm at. Like, am I always 100% happy of where I'm at? No, but because I'm someone who prioritizes personal growth, it's easy for me to be like, okay, what can I be doing right now to get to the next level or do the next thing or move on to the next chapter of my life? And so what I'm really realizing is that it's okay to dream bigger than you thought. It's okay for me to want my wildest, craziest dreams to be possible. and to say them out loud and for them to change too. So yeah, that's something that's just been on my mind recently and that I'm really focused on this month, is to visualize what I want my life to be in a way that I haven't before. So I hope that resonates with some of y'all. Dream big, baby. That's all I got. Oh God. Okay. This question says, have you ever eaten a guy's ass, pegged him down, anything of that nature? Okay. So the answer is yes. It's 2021. If you're not eating ass, like, try it. What do you have to lose? If you didn't die from coronavirus, you won't die from eating ass. I'm just going to say it. Okay. I mean, not to be insensitive, but I just think that this is the year to be, to really prioritize trying new things, obviously in a safe, COVID conscious way. But I think that eating ass is actually pretty COVID conscious because you cannot contract COVID from the butthole, as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, I would say definitely try it. Pegged him down, anything of that nature. I think, you know, there's this whole like shift in our culture where, like, I remember when I was younger, or maybe even in college, people being like, oh my God, guys who want to do butt stuff, that's like low-key kind of fruity, which is so problematic and so homophobic and just all the bigotry and all the like problems. Like, no, that doesn't mean anything about your sexuality. I mean, maybe it does for you, but I really just think when it comes to sex, we're being expansive here. We're not kink shaming. So if you're comfortable with it, or if you've always been curious about it, ask your partner, or ask your partner to do it for you, or see, put some feelers out there. Maybe if you're really nervous about it, just show them some porn and be like, what do you think of this? What do you think of this attractive woman wearing a strap on? I think that, you know, if you're hot, or if you have hot bitch energy, 9 times out of 10, your partner's going to be with it, even if they're not sure if they'll like it or not. So why not try it? Okay, y'all, last question. This question is, how do you deal with someone who is obsessed with their phone? Oh my. Okay, it's hard for me to answer this question because I am this person, and yet I also hate this person. So let me break it down for y'all. I am someone who's on my phone a lot. But when I'm with other people, I really, really try hard not to be, unless we have like the mutual understanding of we can just sit in silence and be on our phones to each other. Like, you know, if you've ever had that friend where you just sit on your couch and you're both scrolling through TikTok, and then you'll be like, look at this, ha ha ha, okay, look at this TikTok, ha ha ha, look at this meme, that's fine. But if you make plans or do an event with someone, put your fucking phone away. Like, it's fine. Maybe if you want to snap a quick like Instagram story or some shit like that, that's okay. But make sure that you have that eye contact and be present. So important to be present. So if you're dealing with someone like this, either it's a friend of yours, a significant other, just call them out on it. I think it's a little bit ruder if it's a significant other or someone that you're dating or seeing. I think it definitely depends on the degree of how obsessed with their phone they are. Sometimes people accuse me of being too obsessed with my phone and I don't feel like it's totally justified. Like, I mean, I work on my phone. I have to post on social media a lot for my different jobs or to promote acting things I'm doing or promote my podcast. So sometimes it's like justifiable, but if someone's just on their phone constantly because they're like scrolling aimlessly through Instagram or they don't really have a purpose for it, it's okay to check them. You don't have to be a dick about it, but just, you know, give them a little check. Be like, hi, take a picture with me, or look at me. And if they don't get it, drop them or throw their phone on the ground. All right, y'all. Thanks for calling in to 1-800-THOUGHTLINE. I hope your thought therapist gave you lots of good advice. Before we wrap up the episode this week, we are going to get into Thought Anthem of the Week. This is the favorite, beloved segment where we share our favorite thought anthems, music that makes us feel good, look good, and just vibe the fuck out. So I have 2 thought anthems for y'all this week. The first one is by Flo Milli. It's Be Flow Mix. I fucking love this song. Yeah, like I said earlier, I'm just on this new era of my life. I'm calling it my Carrie Bradshaw era. I don't love Carrie Bradshaw as a character, but as far as like what she represents as a single bad bitch woman, that is definitely the energy I'm trying to ride. So this song definitely captures the vibe of that, definitely through a confident, like confrontational woman. I love it. Actually, Flo Millie was quoted that she made this song because she was depressed as fuck. I'm gonna read a quote from her. So it started when I was like at home one day. I was like depressed as fuck. I didn't have a job. I didn't have a car. I had nothing. So rapping was like my only thing to do. I was just smoking a blunt, and then I was on the floor of my room and I turned on the beat and I just started. I like cash to my hair to my ass. That's how it came about. It was really thrown together within 5 minutes, but it's the meaning behind it. Like a lot of my people talked about my flow and stuff. It's over a beat that a lot of people didn't know at first, but diehard Playboy Cardi fans were like, you know, we heard the beat before. I knew about the song before. I was a fan of the song Beef, Playboy Cardi 2, like when I was 15 or 16, whenever it came out. And the only reason I chose the song was because I didn't think it was going to be famous. Like, I really was just like, okay, I want to make a little freestyle. My fans are the one who pushed me to actually make it into the song. So I think that's cool. I mean, some people don't like it when artists cover or do their own song over someone else's beat, or they cover another artist's song, but I love doing that. I mean, that's why I vibed out to Miley Cyrus. This is a different energy, but that's why I vibed out to Miley Cyrus' most recent album, where she covers like a bunch of different songs. I think it's cool. I think that's, music isn't something that we need to gatekeep necessarily. I think in some instances, but for the most part, like, especially if it's like a young woman putting her own spin or take on something that makes her feel empowered, I'm all here for it. So Be Flow Mix by Flo Millie. Fucking get into it. All right, all right. Our second thought anthem of the week is NASA by Ariana Grande, the ultimate breakup song for me. The last time I went through a breakup, I really vibed out to this song, especially because, one, it's just a cute song. I love the album Thank You Next. I am embarrassingly a diehard Ariana Grande stan. She is one of my favorite pop girlies. But yeah, I love this song because it just makes me feel like I'm gonna just be cute and focus on myself. Like, I will acknowledge that I'm sad and I'm in my feelings, but that's what I need to do right now, and I need space and to just protect my own energy. So this song and the Flo Millie song are really just the energy I'm trying to ride out this month, and really just trying to ride out the rest of my life. So if y'all need to get your lives together and really just be on your bad girl shit and be in your own space and be in that bad bitch mindset, listen to these songs, put on these thought anthems. All right, thoughty babies, that is all I have for you this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're new here, thank you. I hope that you listen again. Be sure to check out our Patreon. The link to our Patreon will be in the episode description, as well as our social media bios. Also, if you'd like to submit a thought tale, another question, or anything you wanted to share with the fellow thoughts, you can submit that through our Google form that is also in the link to this episode on social media as well. Be sure to subscribe, share, and rate us. Leave us a review. Leaving us reviews, giving us 5 stars helps the show grow. And as you can see, after hitting 1.5K downloads, like, it really, really, really helps. So please, y'all, please share, please leave a review. Yeah, with that being said, I hope you guys enjoyed our little check-in this week. We have some exciting things coming. So I hope y'all thotties are ready to head into springtime, especially in new Carrie Bradshaw single crush era. This is going to be a wild one, y'all. So hang tight. Thanks, y'all, for tuning in, and I will see you next week. Mwah!